Congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of worship. It's printed in the bulletin, and it is also found on page 184 in the front of the hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in this stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with the introit. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
The people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven.
He sees all the children of man.
From where he sits enthroned, he looks out
on all the inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all
and observes all their deeds.
The king is not saved by his great army.
A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is a false hope for salvation.
And by its great might, it cannot rescue.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him,
on those who hope in his steadfast love,
that he may deliver their soul from death
and keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waits for the Lord.
He is our help and our shield.
For our heart is glad in him,
because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us,
even as we hope in you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Glory be to God on high,
and on earth his goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
We pray together. The collect is printed in the bulletin. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people, who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight, in the way that leads to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The congregation may be seated. If you looked at the green insert, you may have noticed that the sermon touches on all three readings. And there's a lot of deep teachings and promises in these three readings for today. You can somewhat summarize them and say we live by faith. By faith. And in each of these readings that we have, we hear of Abram living by faith, or the saints of old, how they live by faith in Hebrews, and Jesus teaching us to live by faith, do not be anxious. Think of those connections as we read these. The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 15, starting at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand and sing.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to God.
And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee.
We confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. It is written on the inside back cover of the hymnal. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The sermon this morning reflects on all of the three readings. To start, I reread from Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. If you would like, you can follow the sermon notes, or you can just listen. By faith, Abraham gave the worry of God's promise to God. God, you are in charge. It's your promise. That's another way of saying verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteous. God, you made the promise. You fulfill it. Abraham, we see in this text, was a bit confused or worried or concerned. Maybe those words would apply. But he knew he had a promise to be a great nation, many descendants, and we read that in Genesis chapter 12. But he didn't have any descendants, not even one yet. And so in his dialogue, his discussion with God, "Oh Lord, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer?" Okay, God, I don't have a child yet. I don't have a son yet. And you made this great promise. I have a fix. I'll fix it. Eliezer from Damascus, my head servant, it will all go through him. It'll all go to him. But God told him, "No, not an adopted son. No, that's not my promise. But from your own," it was interesting, I was thinking in another place that says, "your own body, your own wife." The two become one flesh. The wife is his body, they're one flesh. "From your own body, from your own wife, the promise will come true." And this, to human thinking and human measurements and human science, was impossible. But God had a promise, and he said, "It's going to be through you." And Hebrews says, even though he was past age and Sarah was past age, God made the promise come through them, as he promised. And God also then pulled along, however you would say it, the faith of Abraham. Because he said, "Look at the stars in the sky. Now I know you don't have even one son yet, but your descendants are going to be as many as the stars in the sky, of which, if you could count them." I once read somewhere that it's estimated in a black, dark sky, you can see about 7,000 stars. And of course, there were many more than that, descendants. And the scripture says, and this is quoted in a number of places in the New Testament, "And he believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness." He believed the Lord was going to fulfill the promise. Despite seeming impossible, he didn't even have his own child yet. He had a plan to fix this by adopting a son, but God said, "No, it's going to come from your own body, from your own wife. And believe me, you're going to have as many as the stars in the sky." Live in that promise. And as he lived in that promise and believed it, God credited it to him as righteousness, as holiness before God. For faith, that believing that God would do it by his power and his strength, even if it didn't make sense, that was righteousness before God. So I make the reference in the notes several times over, and I think it's a good way for us to think of it, one good way. We don't have to try to fix God's promises. We're good at that, aren't we? We try to fix things. We know that he's promised to forgive us in Christ. We know that our sins are great. Sometimes those sins weigh on us, and we feel guilty. And we are guilty according to God's law. But then we think, if I do this or I act this way or I behave this way or if I go to church enough times, that will fix it. That will make me better. Or if I did this great sin, I could make up and I could be better if I then do all these things. And that would cover up that sin. We try to fix our own lives, our own holiness before God, our relationship with God. And God knows that we can't fix ourselves. We're broken. We're pitiful sinners before him. He fixed it in his son, Jesus. He says, the point of it is, it's not that you look at yourselves, but look outside yourself to Christ. He is the promise. He is the fix. He is the holiness for you. And the world, without the Word of God, always thinks it has to fix itself to make itself better or good. And the devil tempts us to think that way as well, to look outside of Christ, to look to something else, something we might do. But God says, no, look to Christ. Hebrews 11, which I hope you take time to read at home sometime this week. The very first sentence is considered a really quick, thorough definition of faith, what the Bible means by faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This applies directly to Abraham's situation. He could not see how he was going to have so many descendants as God had promised, that he would be a great nation and that he would be a blessing to many nations, for he didn't even have one son yet. But God made him the promise, no, you will have it. Abraham didn't see it, but he believed God. He had the assurance that this would take place. He had not seen it yet. And this was the faith for which he was counted righteous. There's a lot of things that we don't see yet. We don't see how we're going to make it through the next day or the next year. And we get worried and are anxious. And then we start making plans as if our plans will make it and do it. And it is by the power of our plans and by the power of our doing that we'll make it through this situation, or we'll make it through this illness, or we'll make it through this problem. And we're looking at our plans all the way along. And we forget that God is right there wanting us to come to him in prayer, to depend upon him, to depend upon his promises. It doesn't mean that we sit back and watch TV and we don't have to do anything any day at all. That's not what it is. Because we know God has given us employment or a family or a task, and he asks us to do this. But what Jesus said in the gospel reading is that don't be anxious about it and worry about it so much. Do the task. Abraham, live as a husband. Take care of your people, your servants. Take care of your possessions. The son part I will take care of. It didn't mean that Abraham was going to sit back and do nothing at all along the way. But the impossible thing, the only God could do, I'll take care of that. Sometimes if we think, well, I'll just sit back and just see what happens and I don't have to do anything. No, you have to do something. You have children, you have grandchildren, you have a job. You have things to do that God has given you to do, for me to do. But Jesus says, don't be anxious about those things. Live by faith to know that God is working through these things. And sometimes there's impossible things or things you can't see the end of. God is taking care of that. Live day by day by day. Sometimes week by week. We make plans what to plant. We make plans on a project. But don't forget that God is behind and underneath all these things. By faith, I'm going about this thing day by day by day. By faith, I will raise my children. By faith, I will take care of my family. By faith, I will do this job. God is with me. He has given this to me. He has made promises to me. I will go about my tasks and be a blessing to others. By faith. Jesus focuses and reminds us, focuses our attention and reminds us that these things that people strive for and look to, the world is looking at and the world strives for. But the world does not strive for, because it has no faith, it does not look to God's kingdom. And Jesus reminds his people in his teaching, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them, and instead seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. If we act like the world and these things that we're trying to accomplish take up all our attention, then it's as if we don't have a Heavenly Father who knows that we need them. But when we have a Heavenly Father who knows that we need all these things, and we say, okay, God, I'm going about my life, and you're taking care of these things, and I'm seeking your kingdom. And this is how Jesus taught us to pray. Pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. And then all the petitions, because we have a Father in heaven who knows we need all these things, we go to him. Living by faith does not mean we're not busy with things and doing our tasks. Living by faith means that we know that God is along with us the whole way. He is in charge, and he is working things out, and I will do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to be dragged about by these things, but rather I will obey God and live out life. There was an option in the readings for today to not include the last part of the gospel reading, verses 35 through 40. And I looked at that because sometimes there's options like that in the assigned readings. Sometimes you wonder, why did they say it was an option? I looked at that, I said, no, we're going to read it. Why? Jesus says, don't be anxious about all these things. Your Father knows them. Seek his kingdom now. How do we seek his kingdom? Be ready for Jesus. And we're ready for Jesus by faith, because we don't know at what time he's going to come. He hasn't come yet for 2,000 years, but we're still being ready for Jesus. That is by faith, that he is going to come again. And so I won't be dragged about and controlled by all these tasks I have. I know I have to do them, but I'm not going to worry about all these tasks so much so that I'm not ready for Jesus, because I forgot his word. I forgot to pray to him. So the two things are connected. Jesus wants us not to be anxious for the things of this world, go about our tasks as father, mother, sister, brother, grandparent, aunt, uncle, employer, employee, whatever vocation we have, go about those things. But don't be anxious with them. Rather, be ready for Jesus to come again in doing those things. It is going to Sunday school. It is hearing God's word. It is singing to God. It is praying to Jesus. It is taking care of our relatives when things are hard, in the name of the Lord, knowing he's leading us along. It wasn't easy for Abraham to leave that big area, big city, and all the civilization in the land of Ur, and go to a land I will show you, Abraham. He didn't see it. He didn't know what it was going to be like. There were many tasks to do day to day. But he said, God, I trust you. I will go.
by faith. We pray.
Dear Father in heaven, forgive us when times that we've doubted your promises and think you're not looking or taking care of us. Help us to know and believe that you are always with us. You are always watching over us. You give us things to do, but you give us the power and the strength and the promises. Even when we are weak, you are strong. And even in our own deaths, we have life in Christ. Increase our faith. Help us to serve you. Help us to be ready for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the offering hymn, just two verses, 781. The congregation is invited to stand. We pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church as printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith in the wise and gracious will of God, and power to turn from false belief in our own plans and natural powers, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For your church on earth, that by the seed of Father Abraham, our Lord Jesus Christ, she would be defended against the assaults and temptations of the adversary, and that by your Holy Spirit, your people would live unto righteousness in Christ and shine like stars in the heaven forever and ever. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christian fathers, that they, with faith like Abram, would prize the gift of their children and work in their lives for the good of generations yet unseen. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For rulers to be granted wisdom to know how small and fleeting their reigns are, and that they would rule in loving service to those in their charge, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who serve in law enforcement, fire, emergency, and medical work, and in our military, that the Lord would protect and guide them in all their duties, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in midst of tribulation, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Carlin, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, James, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Tony, Mary, Carlene, Grace, Sue, and Steve, Rick, Jim, Brandy, Pastor Shiwi, and for the family of Violet Eberly, that they all would cast their anxieties upon God, our Heavenly Father, who cares for them in body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For your Holy Spirit, that your servants who recline at your table this day would be enlightened by your word as a lamp unto their feet, being dressed in readiness for the coming of the Son of Man, both now and at the end of days, even as he girds himself to serve them with his body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, knowing that you will hear the prayers of your people and answer us with your mercy, providing all things needful and beneficial to us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is me.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen, amen, amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn.
Wonderful.